Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture of faith in the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are in Psalm 60.
Psalm 60.
Yeah, do you want to go ahead and read that for us?
I would love to. Psalm 60. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. O restore us. You have made the land to quake. You have torn it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people see hard things. You have given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. That your loved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer us. God has spoken in his holiness. With exaltation, I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbasin. Upon Edom I shall cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? Do not go forth, O God, with our armies. Do not go forth, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes.
Thank you. Yeah, so this...
Wow, I have a hard time reading today.
Today.
And just full disclosure, that's the second time I had to read that.
We deleted
a whole thing because for some reason, I cannot read
today. He's just reading the same line over and over.
So for the rest of this podcast, I will not read.
I will not read. That's okay. You've got lots in your head you can talk about. This is a psalm, Psalm 60. I didn't mean that in like a funny way. I meant it in a real way.
I got voices in my head.
And also not what I meant. That was used as teaching to rely on God and on nothing else. So that's kind of what this was used for. So as it starts out, you have rejected us, God, and burst upon us. You have been angry. Now restore us, right? So God is, they feel cast off, broken down. I'm actually reading from the NIV. You read from a different version. So they're slightly different versions there. But David knew that when God fought with or for Israel, that they had victory. So the one commentary that I read, because obviously right now they do not have victory. God is not fighting with them and for them. Something has happened. And it says here, worse than defeat was the sense of separation from God. So it's not that they weren't winning, and they weren't, and they're upset about that, but it was being separated from God that hurt the most.
Great.
So David cries, restore us again. Restore us, right? Crying for hope, but not afraid to come to God and ask for it, even though whatever brought them in the moment, the instance that they are here, where they are feeling rejected, and that God is angry with them, David was still confident to cry out to God for restoration. And so he did, right? And I love that because how many times do we feel, and now a very different circumstance for us here, on the side of the cross. We're not Israel. We don't have armies. We're not fighting, you know, that kind of stuff. But in our lives, when things happen and when we feel that we can't, you know, see what God is doing. We don't know where he is. I mean, we know where he is, but we can't feel him. Maybe that's what it is. Because if we read scripture, we know that God is unmoving and always there.
Right.
But we don't always feel that. And so I think this is a very good example that regardless of what we're feeling, don't rely on your feelings. Rely on God.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You can be restored by him. And you can go before him and you can ask him to restore you, regardless of what you feel that he is, regardless if you feel that he's rejected or he's angry. You know, those things sometimes we put on God even though they're maybe not even there. It's our own feelings that we feel, or we're not seeing things clearly sometimes even, because that also can happen. Regardless, God is there for us to ask. He is there to restore us. So David goes with this hope and this confidence before God. Verse 2, it says, you have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures for its quaking. Mm-hmm. Right? God can tear the earth apart. But David also knew that God is the one who heals. So he was asking for that. Verse 3 goes on to say, you have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. So this is hard things. Israel's defeat was not necessarily something they understood at this point. Some commentaries I read that some people feel there are things that confuse David in this instance. He wasn't sure why God had rejected or abandoned them in this moment. But he also found comfort in understanding that God was sovereign over it, that God had a plan and a purpose through this that would be used for later, right? Spurgeon said, you're going to be happy because I'm going Spurgeon.
You get some Spurgeon in there. You're good.
So far gone was Israel that only God's interposition could preserve it from utter destruction. How often have we seen churches in these conditions? And how suitable is this prayer before us in which the extremity of the need is used as an argument for help? We need to cry for God to help when we don't understand what's happening, when we don't know why we've been brought to where we're brought, or maybe we don't understand the circumstances that we are in. We need to go to God, and we need to cry for him, even in those desperate moments,
right,
just as David is doing right here.
Yeah.
Right? Verse 4, but for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. I found this was interesting. So the banner was Israel's symbol of reliance upon God. It was a pledge of love and commitment to God, trust in him and who he is. Right? Trust that what he's done in the past and what he will do for them in the future. So this banner for those who fear you is a banner they raise because they have this awe and love and fear of God and that pledge to him, that outward commitment and symbol to him, that they are committed.
Yeah.
We are committed to you. This is our banner.
Yeah.
We trust you. We trust who you are. You are who you say you are, and that you have us.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a huge thing, I think.
They would use the banner too to like rally the people.
Absolutely.
To war,
remind
to gather
them,
to lead them. Absolutely. All of that stuff. There's that idea, like you gather to the banner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then verse 5 goes on and says, save us and help us with your right hand that those you love may be delivered. In another version, it says that your beloved may be delivered.
Yeah.
Which this I love because David is referring himself as God's beloved. He's referring that Israel is God's beloved.
I was going to say, it's plural. So he's pluralized it there.
So he's putting that they are God's beloved.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They will be rescued. And I think in this, it shows that because Israel and David are beloved by God, David understands that it's only in close relationship to God that there is salvation.
Right.
And not leaving him. Right? You don't go your own way. You don't forge your own path. You don't leave him in the dust and say, you have nothing for me, so I'm going my own way. I'm going to do my own thing now. There's not salvation in that. He knows that by staying close, and it's only by God's hand. So David is waiting for God to answer.
Yeah.
And I love that, because how many times do we think we know better?
Well, and we take things into our own hands, not waiting on the right hand.
Yeah.
Of God, right? Like the right hand typically swings the sword, throws the spear, shoots the bow. Like that's the power hand. It's that whole left-handed, right-handed thing in ancient literature most of the time.
I know, I don't love those because I'm left-handed. So
I know, but
that's
most
always
of the time the left-handed is the weaker, the untrustworthy, the less powerful.
You may as well just call me,
Right, and that's, so it's saying here is the banner and the power of the right hand that delivers, right?
Yeah, and David knows that that is only in God, so stay close to him.
Yeah.
Right. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. So God, and it continues, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin, and Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. So he goes on, right? And in his holiness, he has spoken. He is declaring, these areas, they belong to me. All of it, right? This is not just the people. This is the actual geographic areas as well that he's kind of listing off here. This is mine.
Right.
All of it. Right? And then the wash basin, Moab is my wash basin. There's like a humble thing here. Like you are being used for a purpose that you might not like, kind of thing, right?
Maybe, yeah.
And then on Edom, I toss my sandal. You know, like there's this, I have the right to do whatever I want because it belongs to me. You know, there is this sovereignty here.
Well, Moab gets a hard deal there too.
That's what I was just saying. There's like they don't love, I'm sure they don't love that. Wash basin?
No.
It's wash basin in both of, I have two versions in front of me right now, the CSB and the NIV, which are actually very different versions. They say the same things, right? That's important. If you're reading a version of the Bible that doesn't have anything the same, then it's probably, you know, maybe double check that it's the Bible.
We did an episode a long time ago.
Yeah.
Probably reposted.
Maybe.
Just how we got different versions of the Bible.
Right. Yeah, it's important. But there's different words, right, that they use, the different orders that they put the sentences in.
Yeah.
But here it's, Moab is my wash basin. I throw my sandal on Edom instead of toss like this. So there's not a lot of difference there, right? I shout in triumph over Philistia. So there's this idea that you are mine.
Yeah.
And what happens to you, I choose, not you.
You're mine even when you say you're not mine.
Exactly. No, exactly. And then verse 9, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Right? David knew that if God did not go with them, did not fight with or for them, they would not win.
Yeah.
Only with God do they have victory.
Right.
Right? And this is a reminder to the Israelites, like, who will bring me to the fortified city? Because if it's not God, we may as well not go. We're not going to win, right? Is it not you, God, who have now rejected us and no longer go out with our enemies? So he's reminding God, you didn't go with us before in the beginning of this psalm.
Mm-hmm.
We lost. We were defeated. So David recognizes that without God, there is no victory.
Yeah.
And I love how he just talks to God. Is it not you, God? Or like, you know, in the CSIB, is God, haven't you rejected us? You do not march out with us. So, you know, reminding him, we need you,
mm-hmm.
right? Give us aid, verse 11. Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. And I think this is my favorite part in this whole psalm. Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless.
Yeah.
It's useless.
ESV says, vain is the salvation of man.
Yeah, like there is no salvation in men. Give us help from trouble, because only God can bring help. God can bring salvation. Only God can bring victory. And David is acknowledging this in front. And this psalm, being one to teach the Israelites, was one that they would have used over and over again.
Yeah.
And it does list at the beginning specific instances that they did use it. But to teach them and remind them that without God, you have nothing, right?
Yeah.
Rely only on God. So here he is saying human help is worthless.
Right.
With God, the last verse, verse 12, we will gain the victory and he will trample our enemies. So you notice how it's God. Not we will win, not we will trample. God. Only God. The NIV, I just read the NIV. I have it written down here because I was studying with the ESV. So it's not just like don't fight with God, but it's through God. It's through his strength that we'll defeat. And the Israelites knew this, right? They knew it.
Yep.
Because human health is useless.
Yep.
So I don't know what you're walking through right now. I don't know where you need to rely on God. I don't know if you're relying on yourself or people in your life, but I just want to encourage you that if you're tired, if you've tried things your own way, that
I got one more thing.
Oh, you're like
you
giving
going.
Me a finger.
I'm trying to like
you just cut me off. It's okay. It's okay. I'm used
to. So one of the things that is kind of hidden in this psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there was a promise made to Abraham about the lands that would be his.
Right, which God lays out right there.
But this is the first time after this battle, this is the first time that the lands promised to Abraham are actually inhabited by the people of Israel.
Oh, interesting.
This is the first time that the promise, like as far as possessing the land is.
Right, like the physical
has finally
land.
Been done,
it's very geographic.
Which is part of why the whole thing is like, we can't go get all this.
Yeah, no.
You have to do this. So it's only once David says, we can't do it. You have to lead it. You've got to be the one that the people of Israel actually get the whole promised land.
Okay.
For
well, that's pretty great. Especially then while they would use it to remind people. That's a great reminder to them, right? The this is, you need to rely on God.
Yeah, we didn't get a, we didn't get to beat all these people. We didn't get this on our own.
Absolutely.
And he, God, promised it to us way back in the past. Like, we could have got this earlier if we had just trusted him.
If we had just done it. So, I mean, that's great for going back to what you're walking through, right? Where do you need to rely on God? Maybe you've tried things your own way. Maybe you've tried things other people's way. But it's God that you need. It's God you need to turn to. You need to trust in. Because it's only with God and through God that you will find victory for your own life. Trust him, and your victory will be through him. So I just want to encourage you with that today. Sometimes it's a good reminder that we even need to be taught that ourselves. And this Psalm, Psalm 60, is a great reminder that we also need to rely only on God. He is everything you need.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca.
Well, you weren't going to read anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm back to reading. And on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.